It's The Takeaway. I'm Sarah Gonzalez, in for Tanzina Vega this week. The third and final season of Shrill premiered on Hulu this past Friday. Based loosely on the book by Lindy West, the show follows the life of journalist Annie Easton, played by Adie Bryant, as she tries to change her life without having to change her body. Over the course of its three seasons, Shrill has captured the experiences of being fat in the U.S. with complexity and humor. That's often included tackling fat stigma and fat shaming head on, even from the medical establishment, as in its new season.
Okay, everything looks good. We'll call you with your pap results when they come in.
Okay, thank you.
And I'm sure Dr. Lai Shen has mentioned this to you before, but you should think about gastric bypass. You're at a good age for it.
I'm sorry, think about what?
Getting bariatric surgery for your weight. It's not healthy, and that might be the most realistic solution.
For more on how Shrill expanded fat representation on the small screen, we are joined now by freelance writer and editor Samantha Puck. She is also the co-creator of Fat Venture Mag. Samantha, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you so much for having me.
What has Shrill meant for how fat people are portrayed in pop culture?
So I think the big thing about Shrill, I mean, obviously it's not the first show to feature fat protagonists, but it is definitely one of the first shows that has fat people both in front of and behind the camera. And that makes such a huge difference for how Annie and Fran and these other characters are presented on screen, because you have actual fat people telling our stories, which is so important because the show really digs into some of the microaggressions that fat people deal with every day, and also deals with sort of every element of moving through the world in a larger body, from, you know, small snide comments from people that you don't know on the street to medical fat phobia, which is explored in a couple of different seasons on the show. And then there's also a lot of fat joy, which I think is also very, very important. So there's a lot of nuance, and it's great because there are multiple fat characters on the show. And so no one character has to represent everything about that group of people, which is such a huge thing because it allows them to be very messy and complex. And I think that hopefully we will see that have an impact on other shows and movies and screen representation of fat folks in the future.
Is it unusual for a show to have multiple fat characters, as you say?
In my experience, yes. I mean, I grew up, you know, in the 90s, and it was constantly like Fat Monica and Friends, right? And it was always like this running joke of like, oh, like when I was fat, or oh, that person is fat. And they were always like the side character, or, you know, the friend. It was never like they were a main character. And there was certainly never multiple fat people who all had their own interests and their own lives and got to make their own decisions. I think the earliest example that I can think of for that is actually Gilmore Girls. And that was when Suki married her husband Jackson. And they were both larger body people who got to have like a love story. And that felt so revolutionary to me as a preteen. And so it's nice to see now that we're getting to a point where there can be a little bit more of that on screen, because it is unfortunately pretty rare.
Tell us more about how fat people have historically been shown in movies and TV shows, the common tropes or stereotypes deployed, maybe especially when it comes to fat women.
For sure. So, I mean, I know that I and several other fat folks who are around my age distinctly remember seeing the movie Shallow Hal when we were younger, and just seeing fat women portrayed as these like really disgusting, undesirable monsters who didn't deserve love and didn't deserve affection and didn't deserve even like basic human decency. And I think that for the most part, fat characters have really been relegated to either like the freak show plot or the sidelines. They're the funny best friend. They're the ones who are constantly there with the advice and to bring over, you know, the sweets and to talk you through whatever horrible thing is happening in your life if you are like the thin protagonist who's having relationship struggles. But it's very, very rare that fat people get to be like actually human, which is a little distressing. in my memory, the most that I've ever seen fat characters on screen up until recently, like the last few years, it's just been a lot of like side character, best friend, funny fat person. Oh my God, they're so fat. Oh my God, that's so funny. Or, oh my God, they're so fat. Oh my God, that's so gross. And there's very rarely been any exploration beyond that.
Tell us more about how the show has recently tackled medical fat phobia.
Sure. So Shrill tackles medical fat phobia in a couple different ways. In the first season, Annie has been taking the morning after pill because she's been having unprotected sex with a partner. And she learns that it doesn't work for people over a certain size. And she's really horrified to learn this, especially because she's bought the pill a couple of times from her pharmacy and the pharmacist has never said anything. And then in season three, there's the scene that we just heard the clip from where she goes to the gynecologist and she gets a pap smear done. And the gynecologist encourages her to get bariatric surgery for weight loss. So one of the things that happens when fat people go to the doctor is that we are often treated for our weight and not for our actual symptoms. So this actually happened to me last summer. I went to the doctor for something that was unrelated to my weight. My weight had absolutely nothing to do with it. And at the end of the appointment, bariatric surgery was brought up. I said that I wasn't interested in weight loss. And the specialist that I was seeing actually spoke to my general practitioner after I left the office and said that she highly recommended me for this surgery. So one of the things that we deal with is that, you know, there are studies that say that doctors are more likely to treat fat patients as belligerent or difficult, even if we're just there for like a basic cold. And part of that is because if they try to treat our weight, which is such a complicated issue, and we are either like not responsive to that, or we ask them to treat our actual symptoms, then we are apparently being problematic patients. So it's pretty ubiquitous. And like, there are stories of fat folks who, you know, have gone in because they can't breathe and they're told that they need to lose weight. And then they find out years later and several doctors later that they have lung cancer. So, you know, it's an issue of people, doctors especially, see fat people, see our size and say that person is unhealthy and don't bother to do any further digging, which is obviously very problematic when you are literally going to those people for care for your body.
And yeah. And just very quickly, has fat positive representation gotten any better in TV shows and movies since the debut of shows like Shrill? Very quickly.
I think it's hard to determine that because Shrill came out so recently and there was a global pandemic in the middle of everything. But I will say just briefly that I think I see the most fat positive representation in children's animation, actually, which is really great because that hopefully has an influence on kids growing up, which is not something that like I had as a child. And I hope that that begins to extend to live action television that's intended for older audiences as well.
Samantha Puck is a freelance writer and editor and also co-creator of Fat Venture Mag. Samantha, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.